Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. Employers looking to fill a job are looking for more than education. They're looking for experience. Students from the University of Louisiana at Monroe School of Construction Management have been getting that experience by working with the Monroe Housing Authority. They've been evaluating local retirement properties for maintenance and safety issues, as well as finding ways to improve energy efficiency. Joining me are Dr. Keith Parker, the director of the School of Construction Management, and from the Monroe Housing Authority are Director Frank Wilcox and Project Coordinator Edna Castro. Frank Wilcox, where did the idea for this project first come from?
We were working with a lot of contract people that help us with doing energy audits and green initiatives, and it just came to mind some of the staff. Edna Castro, who had just recently got her MBA from ULM, and we realized that ULM had a construction department that had engineers and architects with these capabilities, and Edna took the lead in it in talking with Dr. Parker and developing a program where students would become involved with us, and they would get training and we'd get the benefit of their expertise and the leadership from the college.
Edna Castro, you're the project coordinator. As this came together, moving from concept to reality, how did the program really work out, or how was it executed?
Well, we worked with the School of Construction. They assisted us to have high-quality students, and then we offered internships. We started working in January 2010. We went to our elderly properties. The students assessed the properties. They evaluate short-term and long-term needs. They also make recommendations for energy-efficient alternatives. In this way, we help residents reduce their electricity and water bills. And also, at the same time, we save water and energy.
And so were the students involved in making some of those adaptations?
They do the recommendations. They inspect the properties, and then they analyze, they collect data, they analyze the data, and they make recommendations, and they present it to the top management at Monroe Housing Authority.
So then you could take their recommendations and actually put them into practice.
Exactly.
Dr. Keith Parker, what's the value for a student to be able to have that kind of hands-on application of their coursework?
Well, it's always helpful when you can take something out of the classroom and actually see it happen. Contrary to popular belief, most of our students don't do hands-on construction-type work. They're involved in the planning of things and the design of things and the scheduling, the cost estimating. And so for them to be able to go out and work with Monroe Housing Authority or in similar positions, internships, they get a chance then to bring a variety of things that they've learned in the classroom into single projects or pull things together so that the estimating class is not separate from the environmental class, is not separate from the cost class there or the scheduling classes. They get to bring all of that together.
So do you have any stories from students who had a light bulb come on when they were bringing those together on this project?
It's amazing at the questions that can come out of students, especially when we start talking about the mechanical or electrical systems classes, where they might pay attention in class, but it's not a real thing to them. And by working with Monroe Housing Authority, I've had students come back and ask for deep clarifications on heating systems and cooling systems and things like that. And they learned those systems there by working in these projects, where they would have learned a general application in the classroom, but now they've learned specifically how they operate.
And it's a far different thing to be learning it, memorizing it, and spitting it out on a test as opposed to actually using it.
Absolutely.
Edna Castro, what were some of the outcomes that you were able to affect as far as cost savings for some of these initiatives, both for the power savings and the green initiatives?
You can measure the results 6 months or 1 year after the installation. But on average, you can save around 15%. That's the reduction in the electricity bill. We've been working with residents. We provide them with, first of all, like safety in their units, and then we assess the energy efficiency part. We've been working with them. We haven't measured the results. We have reductions from previous work at the Housing Authority, and as I said, it's 15% reduction in electricity bills.
Frank Wilcox, can you talk about some of the benefits to the community, the greater community, to have a project like this working together?
Well, it's really fun for me to have the students. They're exciting to be around, and they're so eager to learn. But, you know, they put together a portfolio in each one of these retirement communities. like Claiborne Creek in West Monroe, it's 140 units designed specifically for the frail elderly. And they put a portfolio together that told us the life expectancy of our roofs, our air conditioning, our heating. There was all kinds of problems that came up about the penetration of our walls and what the R rating on our insulation was and what we needed to add to that to come up to the standards of today. And they actually found such things as trip hazards where a sidewalk is settled a little bit or there's maybe some of the residents have got cords that they shouldn't have. So there was some really tangible benefits that came out of it immediately. And, of course, Edna was talking about the savings on the utilities and the energy that we've implemented, which have really been significant.
So what's the value to the Monroe Housing Authority to having those kind of evaluations done?
Well, we'd been doing them through consultants that I talked to you about. And each time you do one of those, it's $6,000 to $10,000. And the students were coming in under Dr. Parker's guidance, I think, in giving us probably more information than we were getting out of some of those information from the contract that we were getting.
So saving money on the front end, but also that kind of a partnership really tying together with the educational experience.
Well, it was more meaningful, too. I mean, they put more into it. I mean, these students did. And hey, these kids are sharp. I was amazed. They all can do CAD drawings. They're into taking this mechanical system and telling you how long it's going to last and energy consumption. And it was amazing to me to see what we're turning out here at our college.
Well, we look forward to being able to hear some more of the data and hopefully some good results down the road.
Sure.
Okay. Dr. Keith Parker is the director of the School of Construction Management at ULM. Frank Wilcox is the executive director of the Monroe Housing Authority. And Edna Castro is the project coordinator for the MHA. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's more than one way to travel the world. You might try planning it on your own, but one program offers a chance for international travel that includes the experience of a history scholar. The month of July is Study Abroad Month at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. L. Walker is an instructor of history and the Study Abroad program coordinator. Paige Driscoll and her daughter, ULM senior Courtney Brown, traveled to London with the group in 2009. Welcome to the ULM Forum.
Thank you.
Thank you.
L. Walker, what's the benefit of traveling with students in a program that is designed to be teaching about history for a member of the community to join in on a trip like this?
Absolutely. When you are an adult traveling with us, you also get an educational experience. That's how we design the trips, to make sure that everyone gets the maximum educational experience possible. And it's one thing to hear about something or to read something, but when you actually see it firsthand there, or touch it, feel it, smell it, there's just not, there aren't words for that. You can't until you see it, touch it, smell it, feel it, learn it.
Courtney Brown, you're a senior in English here at ULM. Tell me, what did you learn that you might not have known about London that you got to experience firsthand?
We spent a lot of time with the King Henry VIII. We got to go see a lot of stuff about him. And, you know, everybody knows kind of what he's about, but just to get to learn so much more. You can read about it all you want and hear professors talk about it, but to actually see where they lived, the things that they did, that just makes the experience so much more.
The places they walked.
Yeah. I mean, to actually say, hey, I'm standing where Shakespeare stood, you know, I mean, that's just crazy. Especially being an English major, I really enjoyed that.
And we were in the house where he
yeah.
grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Paige Driscoll, what are some of the things that you brought back with you from London?
I brought back, their travel system over there is so much different than here. The metro system, the tunnels, and having to transfer from one to another. And I was just grateful that we had Elle to go with us, because I felt like all we did was just follow her behind everywhere. There would be no possible way for me to have learned that or understood what I was supposed to do if I'd have gone on my own. So that was one thing about getting to go with this group, is you don't have the worry of how do I get around, where do I ask questions. You've got a guide, and that's, to me, the best way to travel.
Well, and even when you're traveling with a tour group, say, you might meet that tour director when you get off the plane over there.
Mm-hmm.
But having somebody that you know coming with you
mm-hmm.
from
here at ULM, somebody who's got the background in history.
Exactly. She has all of the information to tell us what we need to look for, and you've been before, right? So,
right.
So it's, you're not going in there as a first-time traveler absolutely lost.
A number of the trips, we mentioned the London trip that the two of you went on, but then, Elle, you've been all over the world.
Back in 2006, we did Cairo, Egypt, and actually we did a lot of Egypt. It wasn't just Cairo. In 2007, we did Paris, France. 2008, we went to Athens, Greece. 2009 was London. This past year, 2010, was Germany. And 2011, we did two trips this year. We did Belize in May, and we're doing Italy in December.
What do you find people say about the exposure to other cultures after they've been on a trip like this?
That there are differences, but there are similarities. A lot of people come back and they tell me that they were impressed at how you can go across the world and meet someone who is very much like you, like more like you than maybe your neighbor. But you also meet people who are entirely different from you. And again, picking up with what Paige said, everybody is impressed with the underground system that these European cities have with regard to travel. Like most people over there, they're not driving their cars. They're using the underground. And I was glad to be able to show them how to use it because it's a really cheap, efficient way of getting around the city. So everybody's always impressed with that.
So what was your favorite historical site that you saw, Paige?
I would have to say it was the castles that we went to. They're just enormous and grand, and we don't see things like that here. The age, how old they are. I think that's where I took more pictures than you can imagine, but to me, that was just beautiful.
Courtney Brown, did you have a favorite site?
Yeah, I liked them all. I liked Shakespeare's house. That was cool. I liked Stonehenge. I mean, it amazes me, you know, the mystery behind it. I mean, it was freezing, so I didn't get to stay out there too long because it was just so cold, but that was a really cool place to
see. She was also very intrigued with the Tower of London.
Yeah. We got to see King Henry's armor. It was funny to see how it went from so skinny to really fat.
What was the
over the course of his lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that one room that had all of the torture devices in it? Yeah, that was
kind of
pretty
morbid, but it was interesting.
Scary.
So the next trip coming up, tell us about it, Elle.
Italy is planned for December. We'll leave shortly after final exams are over and get back before Christmas. And what we're looking at seeing or spending about 7 days on the ground in Italy, staying in Rome, and possibly going to Naples as well, and maybe hitting the highlights. We'll see the Trevi Fountain. We'll see the Spanish Steps. When we get to Naples, we will definitely go see Pompeii, that site. We'll see the Colosseum. We're going to hit the Vatican. So just hitting the highlights, trying to pack in as much as we can. But I also try to leave them free days to go back and revisit old places or see new ones as well.
Or see things that you might have missed in the run-through.
Right.
Paige Driscoll, you've got the bug for world travel now.
Yes. I could go every year if given the opportunity, and if I can save up enough to go. I would love to go. For Mother's Day, my daughter gave me a National Geographic video and a huge book all about Italy and Rome so that I could study up. So I'm excited.
And you mentioned saving up the money. Elle, one of the benefits for community members to be able to travel on these trips put together by the university with the students is that it's many times a lot more affordable to be able to go.
It actually is. The first time you see a payment of that size, obviously it's big, but it's actually a lot more affordable to travel with a group because we get a lot of group discounts. Also, when you take the fact that I've been to most places and I can figure out where to shave here, like we don't necessarily need to spend that on this. So that makes it better. But altogether, it actually is a lot less expensive than traveling on your own to travel with a group. The Ancient World Association student organization gives out scholarships to students that are participating in travel if you've been an active member of the organization as well.
Elle Walker is an instructor of history and the study abroad coordinator here at ULM. Paige Driscoll and Courtney Brown both traveled to London. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The deadline to register for the Walk Across History trip to Italy is September 29th. There's also an information session coming up on September 5th. You can find more information at walkacrosshistory.com. Comments or questions about this program can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to the ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. You can listen, download, podcast, or share the ULM forum at kedm.org in the listening room.